You are Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Chris Thornton, host and writer for LockedOnJaguars.com. Today we will be previewing, just a little bit of hypothetical season because there's really no Jags news to report. Top five Jags trade assets, we'll dive into that a little bit, as well as a question on if you could have one player from each team in your division, who would it be? I'll give you my answers a little bit later, but that's what's coming up on today's episode of Locked On Jaguars. Hello everybody and welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. We are in the dog days of summer, the lull of the football season. There is really nothing going on. Teams have finished mini camp and players are out doing whatever for the next month until training camp starts up in July, which seems to be so far away. However, good news is we are only 40 days away from the NFL Hall of Fame game between the Chicago Bears and the Baltimore Ravens. Although it's the first preseason game and there's really nothing that happens in Canton there. It's football. We're almost there, 40 days away. This part of the offseason is purely hypotheticals at this point, which is, I guess, everybody's favorite and least favorite because there really is nothing concrete to talk about. But an article popped up on the Twitter timeline last few days discussing trade targets that the Jets could trade Teddy Bridgewater for, and one that pertains to the Jaguars that was mentioned was Dante Fowler for quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. And let me just throw it out there real quick, or before anything really settles, that is a horrible trade. Only getting Teddy Bridgewater, who I've never even really been too high on, to be honest, for Dante, a former third overall pick, is a horrible trade for the Jaguars. Yes, Dante's technically a backup in this scheme, but on some team like the Jets, he could be a starter, and basically doing a player for player swap would be just a spit in the face of general manager Dave Caldwell. Who's not here tonight, he said a second and a fifth would be suffice for him for Dante, and I can agree with that. A second and a fifth, I think, would be almost perfect value for Dante at this point. Yes, his ceiling is still high, or at least some people believe it's still high for Dante. He has that motor. He just hasn't seemed to hit his mark that he was drafted to do, being eventually replaced by third-round pick Yannick Ngakoue. But I think Dante still commands a great value on the market, and we will talk a little bit about that later. But here are my top five Jags trade assets. Start going from 5 to 1, 5th being the least valuable. Now, I only listed players that are not in starting roles or are not fringe players, because obviously we could say Jalen Ramsey is the most tradable asset. Now, I'm talking players that could be traded and wouldn't really affect the Jaguars a whole lot, but you could still get a decent value for them. Coming in at number 5, this list was kind of hard. The Jags don't really have a lot of slack. They kind of trimmed it all off in free agency and the offseason. So coming out of 5 is, you could probably insert a whole bunch of names at this spot, but I just went with Tyler Patman, cornerback. Patman is a pretty solid backup corner. He saw some time last season as well as in the AFC wildcard game against the Bills. He came in towards the end and played a decent amount of snaps and played pretty good. I believe he had a pass breakup that on Kelvin Benjamin towards the end of the game that kind of really just kept the Bills offense from doing anything. So I think Patman could command a decent value. It's so hard to predict these values because, like, guys like Luke Bawanko gets a conditional 7th round pick. You only got Darius for a 5th round pick, which was a 6th and then conditioned to 5th. Tyler Patman, you might get a 6th round pick if the team was desperate enough or coveted him highly enough, but I would think probably a 7th round conditional for Patman is probably a fair value. Coming out at number 4 on the trade assets list is wide receiver Marquise Lee. The Jags just inked him to his 4-year, I believe, $32 million deal. I don't remember the financial details at this point. But They just signed him to that deal. However, in the league, wide receiver injuries are plentiful. And if you have a team mid-season that needs help at the wide receiver position, Marquise's contract isn't too much of a burden, especially if he gets you kind of what he gave you last year, but a little more, obviously, in a bigger role. I think the good value for Marquise would probably be about a fifth-round pick, fifth or sixth. Obviously, you spent a second on him, and now you're paying him, so the value you're getting out of it isn't great. But let's, because the Jags have a plethora of wide receivers at this point, and if you could shed one for a pick, I say pull the trigger. If Allen Hurns were on the team, I would say the exact same thing for him. He has good value. Now look at him. He's out in Dallas being viewed as the number one receiver out there, so who would have thought that? But yeah, Marquise Lee, a fifth or a sixth round pick, I think is something that you could probably fetch for him if the market was right. Coming in at number three on this list is guard AJ Can. Can has not lived up to what he was drafted to be in Jacksonville as kind of this power run right guard. He just seems to get manhandled, but the thing is the intangibles are there, and there's a reason why they drafted him in the third round in the first place. I think in the right system, Can could really flourish, especially if you put him back out the left guard spot. I don't know why the Jags were so adamant to put him at right guard. Obviously, they probably know more than me, but he was a really good left guard for South Carolina in college, and now he's out right guard. He's technically the starter right now, but I think someone like Tyler Shatley or maybe Will Richardson Jr. will push him for that job. But ultimately, I think AJ Can will get the nod again this year. But if a team needs offensive line help, I think you might be able to get, I'll say, a fifth round pick out of AJ Can. I think that's probably his top value. And I mean, a fifth round pick for a guy that probably isn't going to be on the roster next year. They'll probably end up cutting him next, or I guess he's a free agent, so they won't re-sign him after the 2018-19 season. So that's somebody to look at. AJ Can, fifth round pick. I think that's a fairly fair offer for him, for somebody if they view him. Again, like I said earlier, the NFL is weird. There's really no idea how to. It seems like players are often undervalued in these trades, where a guy who could probably fetch a third or fourth round pick ends up getting like a fifth or a sixth. So these numbers are probably skewed in favor of the Jags in all these trades. Guys like Patman probably wouldn't get traded for. Marquise Lee would be like a sixth or a seventh. AJ Can would probably be a fifth or sixth. But I'm just being optimistic, because that's what we can be in the offseason. We can be optimistic and say crazy things, and it won't hurt us sometimes. So AJ Can fetching a fifth round pick. And then when we return, I will reveal my number two and number one top Jags trade assets, as well as the Twitter question mentioned from earlier. All right, so we have discussed three of the top five Jags tradable assets, starting with five, with Tyler Patman, who I said could fetch you probably a seventh round conditional, maybe a sixth. Marquise Lee, who could probably catch you a fifth through a sixth round pick, probably conditional as well. And then AJ Can, with a trade value of fifth to sixth round, so early day three, maybe mid day three picks. Now, number two on this list was a guy who has been really hot and cold for the Jaguars in his career, and that is running back TJ Yeldon. TJ was the starter when he came into the league. He was kind of pushed into that role, kind of flip-flopped with a wheel of running backs. But TJ Yeldon offers you a pretty good catching dynamic as a third down back, which is what he's been used as. His running ability is getting better. His biggest red flag is his fumbles. Although he doesn't have a whole lot of fumbles, it seems like his fumble rate is higher than most running backs. I'd have to look up that number. But it seems like when TJ's on the field, I'm sure most Jags fans probably figure or not figure, the first thought that comes in their mind is fumble, just like when Jason Myers would go up to kick a field goal, it would be a miss. So, TJ Yeldon, I think he offers you upside, especially with the right coaching, and I think you could honestly fetch a third or fourth round pick for him. He's still young, he's on his rookie deal, so whoever, if you were to trade him early, they could negotiate the deal or whatnot. Third or fourth round pick, TJ Yeldon, I don't think he has the capability to be a starter, but I think maybe in a split backfield where you have that power runner and then he's your David Johnson of your offense. I don't know. The Lions maybe come to mind, but I'm not going to really name names because I'm not too familiar at all the other teams' rosters at this point. As the season gets closer, I'll dust up on really all the final moves and final rosters. But TJ Yeldon, I think, could fetch you decent value for if you're Dave Caldwell trying to maybe flip players for picks and then continue to build this roster and make it deeper or whatnot. So TJ Yeldon, third to fourth round pick, I think would be a decent value for him, obviously, the trade skew. And then number one, probably number one on most people's list when you think of trade assets, is defensive end Dante Fowler Jr. This, of course, stems from the article that was posted on Twitter suggesting that the Jets could trade Teddy Bridgewater to the Jaguars for Dante Fowler, which is a slap in the face, a horrible trade for the Jaguars. Dante Fowler, I think, provides you more value. I'm not saying Dante is worth a first-round pick, but he was used that, and he's, what, in his third or fourth year now? Third coming off the ACL? And he has gotten better every year, although Jags fans don't want to admit it. And I'm not saying he's great, but he's not horrible. And if given the right scheme, and a lot of us, and Zach and myself included, have pounded the table to maybe putting Dante at outside linebacker, I think that would be a great fit. So if a 3-4 defense were to call and ask for Dante, I think a really fair value, like Zach said earlier, is a second-round pick plus maybe like a fifth-round pick. Or a third and a fourth. Something along those lines for Dante Fowler Jr. I think is a very fair offer. And I think, honestly, that's a trade that might happen this season. If the Jaguars don't get hurt on the defensive line, I think they could afford to put Dante on the trade block and see what offers come in. And I think you would probably get some decent offers for him. Because Dante Fowler, of course, we know that the Jaguars declined his fifth-year option, so will become a free agent after this season. Maybe teams will just wait to see if they can give him the offer they want. But if you trade Dante, you can extend him to your terms if he starts to show out for you. Maybe Dante has a few strong games to start the season this season, and then you could trade him when his stock's a little higher after having the 2 sacks in the AFC Championship game. So Dante Fowler Jr. Is the Jaguars' number one trade assets that is a bubble player. Not one bubble player. He's definitely going to make the roster, but isn't a starter or would hinder the team if you got rid of him like Jalen Ramsey or even a guy like Malik Jackson, Leonard Fournette, stuff like that. Those are our top five Jags trade assets. Tyler Patman at 5, Marquise Lee at 4, AJ Cann at 3, TJ Yeldon at 2, and Dante Fowler Jr. at 1. After this, when we come back, we will discuss the Twitter question: if you could have one player from each team in your division, who would it be? Guys, remember the days when you were always ready to go? Now you can increase your performance and get that extra confidence in bed. Listen up. BlueChew.com. That's blue like the color blue. BlueChew.com brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in a pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made right here in the United States, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com to get your first shipment free when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com. Promo code locked on to try it free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, so the question's on the table, and please feel free to respond to this question. I'll retweet the original tweet so people don't get mad, and then I'll ask it from the Locked On Jaguars account. If you could have one player from each team in your division, who would it be? And this was kind of tough because the Jaguars really have a decently strong roster across the board, or at least strong where other teams are strong in the roster, in the division. But starting with the Indianapolis Colts, this was really hard to find a player that I would want from that roster that I don't already have a better version of. Now, obviously, if Andrew Luck had been healthy and hadn't been hurt with the shoulder, I'd pick him. He's a generational quarterback talent. When healthy, is probably a top 5, top 10 quarterback in the league, but he's not, so I didn't even consider that. So I went with the rookie Quentin Nelson. Yes, he is a left guard, and I am not a fan of taking really good left guards in college and putting them at right guard. AJ Can. Quentin Nelson isn't even on the same spectrum as AJ Can, or I should say AJ Can's not on the same spectrum as Nelson. Nelson is just a phenomenal athlete, a phenomenal player. However, Nelson was the only one that I'd be willing to take at this point. So I took Quentin Nelson. I'd say you throw him at right guard. So you'd have Cam Robinson, Andrew Norwell, Brandon Linder, Quentin Nelson, and Jeremy Parnell, and then eventually Will Richardson Jr. And I think that'd be a pretty damn good offensive line. So Quentin Nelson out of Indianapolis would be a player that I'd pluck from them and put on the Jags. The Tennessee Titans, I know you guys don't even want to associate with the Titans, jumbo shrimp hats, whatever. But for sake, I had to pick a player, and I went with Kevin Byard, free safety from the Titans. Byard is young, and folks, he is good. I don't care that he's on the Titans. I can recognize talent, and you guys should be able to as well. Kevin Byard is going to be a star in this league for years to come, and you just got Ronnie Harrison in the draft to replace Barry Church. So they seem to want to keep Tashaun Gibson long term, but I'm just saying for shits and giggles, pardon my language, that Kevin Byard at your free safety spot and Barry Church at the strong, or Ronnie Harrison at the strong safety spot would be a very good safety tandem paired with Jalen Ramsey, AJ Bouye, and then that linebacking core, Miles Jack, Telvin Smith, and whoever they put out there at Sam, and then Saxonville. That would just be a terrifying defense, more terrifying than it is now. And then finally from Houston, again, not a lot of players I'd pick from. I was debating maybe Deshaun Watson, but I'm just going to roll Blake Bortles because the boat, BB5, my QB. So I didn't even want to insult him. He's my quarterback. He's earned that right for now. And so I went with wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, who is easily a top 5 receiver in the league, although you guys wouldn't want to admit it. Jalen Ramsey knows he's a top receiver in the league. I'm pretty sure Jalen said that he's the best receiver in the league. Hopkins recognizes that Jalen's the best corner in the league. Although on the field they don't seem to like each other, they respect each other off the field, and they know each other's greatness. So what better thing than to see Hopkins go against Jalen Ramsey every day in practice, and then to see Hopkins flourish on offense. Hopkins would be phenomenal. I think Blake Bortles improving and being able to get Hopkins the ball would be something that'd be great to watch. Leonard Fournette, then end zone shots to Hopkins. That'd be an offense that I'd be willing to watch, and that'd be super fun. But that will just about do it for this episode of Locked On Jaguars, brought to you by Blue Chew. We went over top 5 Jags trade assets, as well as if you could have one player from each team in your division, who would it be? Be sure to check back with us next week. Hope maybe Jags news will break. Not sure, but we'll muster something up for you guys. As well as to check out the Locked On Jaguars page. We're always churning out articles that try to keep you guys entertained in this really dead offseason. Be sure to follow myself on Twitter at MistoCristofo, my co-host who is not here, at Zach_Goodall, as well as everybody on the Locked On Jaguars team. I'll be sure to include them on the Twitter. You can find them there as well. And we will catch up with you guys later.